Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around the campfire. It's Dr. Drew and Bob. This Life
and this
with
life,
special guest Mike
Carano. This Life is courtesy of Dr.
I like
Dr.
The
com.
Accent.
Now and comes the professional
support
stuff.
The show by clicking on the Amazon banner for all your shopping needs. You pay nothing extra, but we get a little taste. So the winds in the sail of This Life podcast continue to blow. And we love hearing from you. We will have you on the show. If you send in drdrew.com/contact, send us your questions. We'll put those up. And please mention This Life if you want to be a guest on this podcast. Some of you are up for that. Thanks for your support, but not least, visit thislifepodcast.com, the website for updates, episodes, and events. And special thanks to Nate Potker, our sound engineer. And Bob, your new podcast with Greg Barrett, Just Keep Him Alive on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
How's
that's
that going?
A fun one.
It makes me feel not special that you're just offering listeners guest spots.
And today's subject is PTSD, but we have, of course, Mike Carano.
You are our client.
Wait, now let me get all your stuff. Miscellaneous Adventures.
I wish I could talk about everything.
Hang on a second. Miscellaneous Adventures from the World of Mike Carano podcast. Do you video that too?
Sometimes.
And where I get that on iTunes or some other platform?
You got it.
iTunes?
YouTube. Specifically get it on iTunes.
YouTube. Also, After Disaster Podcast. Sometimes. Follow Mike at Mike Carano, C-A-R-A-N-O. And MikeCarano.com for the music we'll hear at the end of the podcast?
Possibly.
What is that
music?
All about?
Yeah, we do.
What's going on? What are you doing?
I'm starting to think you don't listen.
I don't
so
listen.
We've done this every time.
I don't.
Or are you just revisiting it?
He plays music for friends.
People love Mike's music.
He loves playing music, but he doesn't do it professionally.
I see. Interesting.
I'm feeling traumatized right now. I'm feeling blue, so I hope I'm a good guest.
Okay. You know I love your stuff. And
yeah,
I was an early adopter.
That means a lot.
Early adopter and have been wanting the 3 minutes with Mike or 5 minutes with Mike or any of those things to come back because I love those.
So Mike is not as emotionally resilient as someone like me. We're,
correct.
You know, so he had direct loss four or five months ago.
Four months ago, yesterday.
One of our best friend's brother just dropped dead.
So it's is this bringing all so, that all back?
Yeah, and the four-month period, I thought, you know, things started getting, nothing's good, but things are getting better. It's better. The first week was just a daze and just pure.
We have to revisit
emptiness.
What we're talking about here.
He lost his sister.
Yeah.
Most tragic accident I've ever heard of in my life. Yeah.
But
random.
Well, the shuttle people might disagree with that.
Random. What?
Yeah, but that was a dangerous.
They're in the shuttle and you're going from hero to dead.
But that's dangerous. They were in a dangerous situation.
Just, you know.
She was Ray Oldhofer still wandering around here.
See, we don't want to re-traumatize him, but Ray does wandering
she
around.
She was
so
hit by a tree.
Take your headphones off.
She's a drummer. She was driving to a gig, and a random tree fell on her at the beach in San Diego and just killed
her. In
her
car.
Yeah.
Just a huge,
look at
huge
the look
tree.
On his face.
Huge
is that
tree.
The most random
but it wasn't
thing you've
just,
ever heard?
It was completely random, but it was also the fact that she was the one person in our family that kept everything together. And she did everything for my mom and my dad and for my nieces and my niece and my nephews. And she was the one person, like the good person in the family.
The worthwhile human being in the family, quite
yeah.
Well, you better step up.
I just actually stepped down a little bit.
That was the therapy side of Ray right
there.
That's pretty good.
No, that's got to be rough.
I've
never heard
thing.
Of anything like that.
It's hard to, you can't really explain it. I've been to a lot of funerals. And normally you go to the funeral, and then when it's over, you're like, who wants to go get waffles? And everyone's in a good mood. Like, not a good mood, but you're like, I got to get some meat. This one was just like, just the ringing noise.
How long have you been like catatonic? I know when my mom passed, it was the weirdest thing ever.
It was a couple of weeks, and then I started just going back to work. I mean, I went back to work immediately, but I started getting back in the rhythm of things. But now at 4 months, it's coming back in like
nightmares. Was that because of this?
Is she older or younger than you?
Younger.
Is this because of the renewed... Another loss you guys both suffered
today.
Recently? Yeah.
Today, that just came up. I just found out about it like two hours ago.
Okay.
I was on Facebook and I saw a memorial for him and I was like, what the F?
So there's a friend, a relative.
Yeah, it's a guy that I just...
Yeah.
Good friends.
It was. And I feel bad because it was kind of a hassle to get him the tickets for Coachella and I was the last thing. I was like, kind of like, fuck, why am I always getting people tickets? And then now 3 weeks later, he dies. Mm. And it just was one of the most wonderful things. He went there with his kids.
I say, why don't you flip it? Yeah, flip it. At least I got him that.
You know, I'm Catholic. Yeah, so I went right when I heard that he had this heart attack. I was like, holy shit. Oh, And then it just, I kept saying, because it went on for 3 days, Drew, and I know so many people that are OD'd from drugs and they're in comas that, you know, they go, he was in a coma.
Yeah.
And I kept telling his brother, it's going to be okay. People just wake up. People just wake up. It's going to be okay. Because with drug addicts, I've seen dozens of drug addicts be in a coma and just wake up.
It's called hypoxic brain injury. And it's very difficult to predict in the first week after that injury how things are going to go. But there are certain indicators, like if they have seizuring every time they lighten them up from the coma and stuff. And there are certain indicators of massive damage that even you don't want to wake up from.
What is the self-induced coma? Or the
that's what they do.
Why
sometimes.
Do they do that?
There's a theory that it may minimize some of the brain damage. The brain and also, by the way, controls itself. The seizuring.
How do they do that? With drugs?
Phenobarbital, yeah.
And then constant monitoring?
Oh, yeah.
So I kept being the optimist to his brother, like, it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. And then it wasn't okay.
But they probably appreciate that. You feel like an idiot.
But
you know,
how many drug addicts we know been in comas for 8 days and just wake up and they're totally fine?
So how does your body function in a coma? Like, do you just go to the bathroom on yourself?
Yeah. You don't yeah, move like enough.
That. Why would you ask that question?
Well, I'm worried about if I'm in a coma, how embarrassed I'm going to be when I wake up.
We'll lock you
and
in.
The super hot nurse comes in.
We put tubes in everything.
I was going to clean your diaper again. Oh, you're up.
How do they tube the poop?
There is a rectal tube, but usually they just let it go in a diaper.
The toilet paper company should jump on that one.
Oh, great. So, but
more efficient.
But why do drug addicts wake up out of it? And they're totally normal.
Because they've not had a severe episode, a length of hypoxia. Also, drug addicts are cockroaches. They're amazing survivors. You know what I mean? But also, it's just the duration of time down without blood supply. And often, the drug addict is an aspiration pneumonia with sepsis or a period of no breathing, which is different than a period where your heart's not beating, which is what this was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not heart not beating. Yeah, it's different than not breathing.
Not breathing.
See, I want to educate the public on these things because I think the public is so ignorant about medicine at this point.
Medicine? We have carpool lanes. Why do we have those? Jesus Christ. Common sense is like, why don't we open it up and have, you know, 20% more people moving at a good rate of speed instead of some a-hole in a Prius.
So, Drew, is what Mike going through a PTSD type of thing? Because we have a PTSD caller.
100%. And it is Memorial Day. And we do, you know, one of the ways we can pay homage to the people that have given
it's
us
cathartic.
Service.
It's cathartic. Obviously, Memorial Day is a way for the nation to absolve itself or grieve itself or honor itself.
We want to ritually sort of reenact the traumas of
the
past.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Do you guys have any guilt that we don't really do that?
Hello?
A little bit.
Hold on one second. Guy.
We have a caller.
But let me just say, before we go to the caller, Mike, when you have a trauma like you did with your sister, and then even a minor trauma that follows that can really evoke a lot of heavy stuff.
Because the original one didn't. You have to buck up, like what Ray was saying to him. You got to buck up now. You got to be that person in the family. You got to be strong.
Let's just say it may not have been fully processed. And if there's leftover stuff, man, it can be really evoked. Do you have anxiety now?
I have a lot of anger I'm trying to...
Appropriate. All right, let's talk about our caller. What's your name there?
Cameron.
Cameron, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate taking the time. Long time fan, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Cameron.
And much love to what you do, Bob.
Thanks.
What about me?
Mike Carano's in here with us, too. He just had a...
Oh, Mike, I love you, too.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, so anyway, I have been diagnosed with PTSD. I've kind of got a double whammy from military service.
Okay.
And then from the death of my daughter and like a really bad accident, car accident that was caused by someone who was under the influence.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I kind of got a double whammy with that, you know. And I also want to take the time to thank you guys for spending a whole show on PTSD, it's huge. It's a big deal.
It's a big problem. It's a big, big problem, and particularly with returning military. But it does, again, highlight this issue that oftentimes it's trauma and then a second event really triggers things. It's a common experience with... did you have childhood trauma too?
I did.
Yeah, I was going to say it's especially common with childhood trauma.
Yeah, but he didn't cause either one of these traumas. So why would you
what
ask
mean
that?
Cause?
I mean, what yeah, did he had PTSD from serving, then the death of his daughter. But you asked him if he had childhood trauma. Like, how it, would
His ability to deal with
grief, his ability
to
connect to feelings.
How do you deal with it?
But remind ourselves that I was describing the sort of re-traumatization process, and early childhood trauma sets you up for that especially. And, you know, I have early childhood trauma. You have.
Are you part of the Wounded Warriors? Have you ever gone to them for help?
No, I haven't. I mainly went to therapy on my own.
Oh, okay.
But that was only after the death of my daughter. It wasn't for, like, military-related stuff or anything. Because, I mean, for veterans especially, the VA, you know, where
Can't turn to them.
It's horrible.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Drew. I deal with this every day.
Hang on. The groups there are good.
The drop-in center groups. But you'll have to wait a long time. The best is Wounded Warriors because they grant different organizations under a huge umbrella called Wounded Warriors.
Yeah.
I have one in Malibu.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Big Heart Ranch. And really what it is you guys together kind of helping. It's almost like a 12-step thing.
Yep, it is.
Where they're all together, like, processing it together, and some that are further ahead in the healing help those from behind, because that's the way that you learned how to be a soldier.
But there's also a thing, too, that drug addicts experience similarly, which is there's a feeling that nobody understands unless you've been there, unless you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you've got 20 guys and gals that have been there.
And if you leave out that group process, you're really leaving out the linchpin if you have a history of combat. That is such a key piece. Plus, a lot of guys miss the connectedness. That there's a weird positive piece.
Isn't there a way that we can? I understand because I deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
The VA. Isn't there a way that we can honor our soldiers and condemn the VA?
We used to do that all the time.
Because the VA. Here's what they do, and I don't know if you've been to any of the drop-in center groups or had. If you've ever been so desperate you need immediate help, they have it available, but they mix all the different veterans. So you're in with a 75-year-old Vietnam vet, you know what I mean? And you're just a 23-year-old kid who just got home from Afghanistan, and it's too much. It's too mixed.
But it's not malicious, right? The VA, it's just bureaucracy.
It's bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And they're
they don't do it on purpose.
They're overburdened.
They don't do it on purpose.
They were getting their shit together for a while there. It really looked like things were going to get
better.
This
is why we have biker gangs. Because you miss serving, and then you get together with a bunch of dudes.
It's true.
It's this bonding that goes on, or this trust. Yeah. So,
or they go back. So the reason.
So what are some?
You got two choices: biker gang or juggalo.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I saw your video with the Fago coming on. What was it called? Fago.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ICP sprays Fago all over.
Anderson
everything.
And I got put on clown makeup. I went and saw and saying clown posse. Yeah,
do you have a picture of yourself with the clown makeup?
Got a lot of stuff. Yeah. There was a couple of hairy moments that were truly.
Can we put some of that up?
Have you done this since you've been suffering from PTSD?
Did it last Friday.
Okay, so all your anger, did it help cathartic?
No, I was too scared.
Get the anger out?
I was too scared.
but I just think that a lot of times the public doesn't know how to process or treat you returning. Is that how you felt?
Yeah, I mean, you feel like an outcast pretty much. Like how everybody sees you, like they don't understand. You know?
And they tiptoe around you.
Well, they can't understand.
Yeah, and it's another huge issue is, like you're saying, you know, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, they're coming back. And they leave the VA with like six different prescriptions.
I know.
You know?
Often pain meds.
It's ridiculous. I've talked to so many of them, and it's just
let's be clear though. It's not that medicines are useless. It's that they're overdone and they're not the only solution. And if you leave the group and the individual therapies out, you might as well not take the meds, number one. And number two, they're often giving them addictive meds, and that's where the tragedy is really kicking.
Since we're a country that loves war without end, I think we need a 12-step support like AA that's open to the public of that where they get together that has nothing to do with Wounded Warriors, or it's just this independent thing where there's group
Like a PTSD group?
Yeah, PTSD 12-step group, something where they can just tap in anywhere.
But you'd have to, it'd have to be professionally managed. You know,
Not really.
That's what people said about AA, and you don't.
I agree with you, because there's something you get out
there's
of AA that's
powerful.
Not,
yeah, but AA is a highly structured sort of
ingenious
thing.
Yeah, you need structure
thing,
to it.
But it's ingenious. And you, if you use the 12-step structure and principles,
that's what
fine,
I'm talking about.
Fine. It's called Emotions Anonymous. They've had it.
I'll be honest with you.
They had it, Bob. You remember EA?
Yeah, but they need a sexier title and a more modern for this population. There are 50,000 kids out there, Drew,
listen,
just like our caller.
So you get EA, and who do you think shows up?
I have never been to it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
I do think
it needs to be developed.
If you've got some trauma, just going to a meeting is probably going to help, because most people there have the same common anger, trauma, hypersensitive.
But you have to go to a meeting.
I would say above PTSD from war is the death of a child.
Yeah, yeah.
I
want to
get
much
into also with Cameron.
How old was your daughter?
She was 5.
Oh my God.
Are you still together with her mom?
We're separated right now.
Was it because of that?
Sure.
I think it was issues, you know, related to that. And, you know, it was just kind of building between both of us.
Dude, you can get through this. What you need right now is to know you can get through this to the other side of this. I don't know how, but I know I want to help. I know that millions of people want to help. I don't know how.
Yeah. Well, it will. It's not going to get good, but it's going to get better. I can tell you from my little experience here that's not as bad as yours, but it just seemed hopeless and empty and gray.
It's been 7 years already.
Yeah, but it gets a little bit easier. I don't know. You harness it and can you play the blues? No, I'm kidding.
No, it's not, because oftentimes there's two things I'd like to say. One is that
don't forget that Lamar Odom lost his child, and ever since that point, from SIDS, right, he just was like a zombie.
Yeah.
So everything that came after that. I always relate to that trauma.
Well, but let's revisit the group process for soldiers. There's a similar group need for people that have lost a child. So you need to go to a group with people that can relate to that. That tends to be extremely important. Have you done that?
Yeah, we did, and it was not a good experience.
What happened?
It kind of felt like it was like a one-up. Like, everybody's like, well, my child died this way, my child, you know,
God.
And it was just...
Think that.
But hang on, though. How long did you go for?
We went for about 2 months.
You sure
it
wasn't
just...
You sure wasn't
That gets back to your theory that nobody's running it right.
Correct. Yeah. However, are you sure it just wasn't your perception?
Possibly. You know, I mean, I don't know the frame of mind I was in at the time.
Right.
I can see that.
You might want to revisit that again. You might want to never...
I could see you really want people to know I'm in pain.
Yeah.
And you're not consciously doing it, but
that's
you're
right.
Subconsciously telling them, well, here's what happened to me.
That's right.
Here's what... Because you want to let people know that I'm really, really hurting.
And you weren't in an empathic frame of mind then. You were like, dude... I don't care. I'm hurting, you know.
Yeah,
which is normal. Mm-hmm. But number two.
So you're the one that said we need these groups, and then you just heard these groups.
Those are professional
everybody's
groups.
Everybody's one.
Those are professionally run groups. I understand, but it may have been how people go to AA and see what they want to see too, or feel what they want to feel because of the state they're in. Sometimes going back, sometimes when you're ready, it has a different effect. Number two. Now I'm not saying he may be accurate.
I don't even know what you'd be going there to get.
Just
camaraderie,
ultimately,
at least the motivation is clear in AA. You want to be sober.
Yeah, but I think it's much more than that. I think you go there to get your attitude fixed.
Have you talked about your sister at AA?
By accident. Somebody,
by accident?
Well, no, I've never spoke, and I was sitting in the corner, and the girl who was the speaker went, Mike C. in the corner, and it just came out. And I don't remember
Sharon?
What I said. No, it was Nicole.
No, but you
sharing.
Shared.
Oh. You were sharing. Oh.
Yeah, but I...
Oh, you were thinking I was saying
I thought you said Sherry. Yeah. I almost said her last name, too. Jesus.
No, but...
God,
so
I still want to open
you.
A TMZ site that talks about AA.
She picked on you.
Then, Robert Downey, I can't say the last name.
Oh, my God.
You know, they do that in England.
Really?
They out people?
Yeah, they out people.
That's
in
disgusting.
Yeah.
You know why it's disgusting? Is because that can affect people's perception of you in your job. And
listen,
You have to put your big boy pants on, and I agree with it, that. When you go, you got to know what your motivation is and what you're trying to accomplish, and that you got to expect in a 12-step group or even a therapy group, you're going to hear shit you're not going to like and you're not going to agree with. Just tune it out and try to zero in on what helps.
Try to be empathic to those people. Try to understand where they're coming from. Try to understand their pain. Finding forgiveness and awareness of other people's pain is getting out of your head is very helpful.
I'll show you how crazy it is. So when celebrities go to AA in England, they're photographed outside. It's talked about in the tabloids. I had a friend who was in a rehab center that somebody, his roommate or somebody in the rehab, stole his journal, and the Sun Times published it.
Oh, God.
Right? So the laws in England must be different about privacy.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
There's an attorney out here starting to specialize in celebrity sort of privacy and libel. He needs to open an office in England.
Yeah.
But let me just say, though, that the other thing that Mike just brought up obliquely, but I think is accurate for Cameron, which is so-called creative solution. Being creative, creating, expressing yourself, doing something, even if it's just exercising every day, being generative.
Well, what about all those mothers we know who died from that one doctor? They started. They did a movie about their kids.
Right,
they did
right. This. Be generative. Something. Cameron, do you have the energy for that? Can you start something?
I mean, especially recently, like the last couple months. I think like now I'm ready to kind of go out and be like, this is what happened. You know?
All right, good.
That might be the saving grace.
That's like a passion.
I kind of
want to spread that.
Think about creativity and generativity. You're going to make something. You're going to create something.
You know
something.
What
gonna,
you never have? I just thought of when he was talking. Yeah. Because I'm so codependent with him right now. I want to rescue him and hug him. You don't see parents go to high schools whose children have lost. A lot of times they have the drunk drivers go to high schools and talk about it. But they don't have the victims' parents talk about it. I bet you that would be powerful.
I think they do have stuff like that.
Have you looked into that?
Well, MAD,
where you could speak about what it's like for the drunk driving?
The problem with MAD is you don't really take mom seriously.
Oh,
seriously? You're joking? Okay,
I'm kind of joking.
Drew, I'm going to keep Cameron on the line and then have you read the next letter since we'll make it a little group here.
Real quick,
if you're in high school and you have a mom come in and talk about how she lost her child or something to a drunk driver, that's not going to have nearly the impact as having a high school student come in and talk about how they killed somebody.
You really think that?
Absolutely. If one of your peers comes in and goes, here's where my life ended up because I didn't use my head.
Well, that's the standard operating.
Yeah. In your head.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is Ed?
Ed, he didn't want to call in. He was afraid.
He's a 58-year-old disabled person struck by lightning in 2009.
Cool way to be disabled.
PTSD and depression is pretty cool.
Sharp.
But he has PTSD from it. Other health issues. 11 years ago, I went back to college at 47, obtained an AA in computer science. I was finally able to support my wife, make a home.
Awesome.
Finally having a hold of my life. Then misery happened.
How
I long to hear someone say I count or good work or anything positive. It seems lately like life is playing a cruel joke on me. It sounds depressed. In fact, the more I take stock in life, I fail to see any real purpose. Remember, this is the purpose thing again, Bob. As of late, I'm hating life. I find myself praying for death every night. I'm disabled, homebound, and not a winner anymore. God, I wish you'd called.
That's not true.
Well, all he really wanted was your photo, but we're going to get him that. And he just didn't want to talk about
it. Just wanted a yogurt recommendation, here's some other information.
Well, I was also thinking that if you have PTSD, you don't really like to go out publicly with it. It's very difficult, right?
It's true.
Well, like everything in life, including the drinking thing, it's nearly impossible to ask for help, and there's probably nothing coming your way if you don't ask for help.
You were forced to it because you got to do podcasts and shows.
And by the way, let's distinguish between chronic PTSD, which Cameron has, and which this Ed has, and acute PTSD. I've had sort of acute PTSD a number of times in my life. I'm sort of set up for
it. Have you ever lost a patient when you're like regular, not drug addict?
Oh, of course.
Not that you knew was going to die, but something like at SC when you were a kid?
No.
What was the first time a patient of yours died? You walked outside. What were you thinking? I should have, would have, could have?
Yeah, should have, would have, always, constantly. But you're also thinking about telling the family and what you're going to say and that kind of stuff. Because I had to do that
traumatizing.
Thousands of times. you actually eventually get kind of good at it.
Does that haunt you?
No, because you start getting philosophical about life and about doing the best you can. And, you know,
I'm seeing you as the doctor that I know, because we had just talked about addiction. It's such a specialized thing.
Yeah, it's very different.
But have you had to tell somebody they're terminal?
Thousands of times.
How do you fucking do that?
You just dive. It's like, literally, how do you jump into cold water? You dive and you just stay with them. You stay there. A lot of guys do it and just bail out.
Mike, you ever thought about that with him?
Yeah, I have thought about it, because there's a lot of stuff in life that you're forced to face that you don't want to face.
And there's different ways to ignore it. It's a skill. Sometimes it's something that you have to slowly get them into.
I've only seen that one time. A lot of times, I saw it. My sponsor, Gloria Scott, that woman who helped me so much, we were in the oncologist. The little lady tells her, there's nothing we can do. And I was like, well, cut her. I was there. I said, cut her whole lung out. And she said, we don't think she will make it off the table.
Look,
I was like, what the fuck?
Well, I would argue that she should have said she will not make it off the table. Because as soon as you leave the...
Maybe she did, and I can't remember. Here's what
I deal with all the time, which is people...
Because she had lung cancer. Just cut the fucking lung out.
I get people with terminal illness that go in, have a surgery to debulk the tumor or to remove the primary, and the surgeons go, well, we got it all. Got it all. And the family goes, oh, hooray. And I have to come back in and go, no, I want to kill that surgeon. They're not telling you the truth of what's going to happen here. I've had to do that more times than I can count. It's such a bummer, and I get so angry.
Why is death such a freaky thing?
Why do we not face it? Like, why do we choose to ignore it?
But that's my point. Is you get philosophical and you start realizing there can be a quality death the way there can be a quality life. You can make that dignified and glorious
and good. The woman did say you need to get your affairs in order, and while you're healthy, you should go do things that you always
I've sat with families and said, let's...
how do you enjoy... this is the best cruise ever.
But I've sat with families and said, let's make sure her death is as glorious and dignified as her life was.
Wow.
And people appreciate that when you say that.
You know what? I really agree with that. I mean, my dad just died at 92.
He did it his way, but it was really sad watching. I was getting
ready to have a whole conversation with you, because the kind of heart failure he had predicted 2 years max. And if they'd put an implantable defibrillator in, he might have gotten that 2 years, but it might have been horrible misery.
Right.
Because
he couldn't work.
But he was ready to face it.
He died right. I'm telling you, that was a correct death.
Amazingly enough. But can you help Ed, follow through with a group for Ed?
So, Ed...
I mean, he's a little different.
See, unfortunately, I wish he'd called in, because I can't really tell what's going on there.
It's depression.
For sure there's depression. And God knows, who knows what kind of injuries he got from that lightning strike. He may have brain injuries and things, too, that need to be dealt with.
His personality changed.
Things need to be dealt with biologically there, for sure, which means pharmacologically.
Oh, that makes sense.
But carefully. Do small, as they say
maybe,
in French.
Maybe the direct is to go see a psychiatrist. Maybe you haven't seen a psychiatrist. He's obviously seen medical doctors.
Yeah, ask your neurologist. He must have a neurologist. Start with the neurologist and say, get me to a psychiatrist. Somebody who's not over-enthusiastic with medication, but who can really take all this in. The PTSD.
I don't care what medicine a guy gets. He needs to be lifted.
That's right.
I think this is really, really important. There's a lot of people that have serious depression and very seriously unhappy, but they will not take a step to fixing it. How do you push them in that direction? Because I have one or two people in my life right now that may or may not be suicidal, but they won't.
They're suicidal?
I believe one person is, and...
Events will push them.
We both know people that have talked to both of us. Probably you 10,000 times more than me about, I think I have a problem, what do I do? And you tell them, and they just never show up.
I always say, turn the backside of your insurance card, and where it says mental health, call that number and say, I need to see somebody.
But how do you get them to do it? Because
you got to sit with their rhythm.
I've
sat at Canner's with people and had them call right there after a meeting.
But you got to get through their denial a little bit. Why don't you want to feel better? We call it therapeutic wonderment. A lot of like, huh? You're not feeling good and you don't want to feel better?
I do it. What's wrong? I'm not fucking...
Yeah, but I'm talking from experience, too, because I just don't want to make appointments, and I don't want to deal with stuff.
I don't either. And so
my
wife doesn't
want to go to the doctor.
Yeah,
either.
My wife does it for me.
You need.
So
I have an expired driver's license right now. You need a family, social people.
That's
going to
get better now
that
you're out of the relationship.
So wait, let's.
This guy needs to call. I would say psychiatrist first, neurologist second. You're saying neurologist first?
Well, get a referral from the neurologist to a psychiatrist who can understand all these complex issues.
If he probably already has a neurologist, right?
Yeah.
Right? What happens when somebody's having a mental breakdown and they go to the emergency room?
They see a social worker, and they're either referred.
Really? They get out of van.
But they're assessed for admission now.
He doesn't want to admit it.
It depends what they're in there for, dude. Relax. Now,
I mean, I have a friend who's not an addict, as far as I know. I've never seen any kind of even drinking, and I know there was an issue a few weeks ago, and I said, you should probably go to the emergency room. What are they going to do?
I'm just thinking what medical training must be for, in Bob's point of view. Bob, morphine, Ativan. That's all we do. That's all we learn how to do all the time.
Okay, but let's ask Cameron if he has any more questions, because he's sitting on the line and he's probably bored to death with that.
All right, Cameron, we'll finish up here. Any more questions for us, buddy?
Just one. In your experience, Dr. Drew, like, what do you think is the overall outcome of, like, PTSD? Is it, like, medicine for the rest of your life?
No, I don't. I think it might be therapy for a long time. And I don't. You cannot leave out the groups. You just can't. I'm sorry, but you can't. And most PTSD, if it's not, you know, the really severe, horrible, ritualized trauma of childhood when our brains get really injured, most of it gets better. And as Mike said, it's never good, though. It's never great. You know what I mean? It's something you sort of learn. Like, I have anxiety all the time, and you know what? I don't give a shit. That's fine. Yeah. And eventually your PTSD will be sort of in that zone.
It'll be there.
It's like you'll say to somebody one day, you know, you never get over this, but I'm fine.
And life can be good.
And not only can life be good, you can find inspiration, you can find creative generative
I would say motivation, like to honor your daughter, live happily.
Yes.
Get yourself healthy.
Right.
Because that's what she would want. I know that sounds corny, but it's the truth.
You know what? Be of service.
Get healthy.
Be of service. Well, that will bring you a lot of peace if you just go help somebody.
I think it's purpose. It's a purpose-driven life. Yeah. I hate to agree with Rick Warren.
Okay,
but
we can take a break. And
All right, Cameron. Thank you for calling, buddy. Good luck, and stay in touch with us.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
We're taking a little break, man.
The cult leader?
Be right back.
He said a cult leader.
Rick Warren, the Mormon guy who's in jail?
No, Rick Warren.
What about it?
Purpose-driven life. He wrote a
book. Who's the Warren guy that was
Warren
in the...
Warren Jeffs. All right, we're taking a break.
I hate to agree with David.
Peace.
Be right back.
See you in a minute.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest podcast or interaction with drdrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction per se. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the sites or podcasts.
Hey, we are back. Reminder, please, please, I need your support over at HLN. We are 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Thursday. It's actually a good show. We'd appreciate your support. Also, Adam and Dr. Drew, the band's back together. We're 5 days a week. You can get that at...
Sometimes I turn your show on, there's like 5 different people on there.
With Adam?
No,
Adam?
Your TV show.
Oh, yeah, we typically...
There's like millions of people now we're talking. It's chaotic.
We've actually culled that down a little bit. And now we do 2.
I like some of those girls. They go nuts on there.
Yeah, it's good. Well, there you go. See why we do it?
You know what?
It's our HLN show.
Everybody fighting to say their thing.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a caller? Yes. What's the caller's name, Susan?
Oh, wait. I have to do it. Hold on a second.
So, yeah, the HLN show has been a lot of fun, interesting, and it's hard to...
I love when Garagos is on there.
You like Mark on there?
He doesn't go for the infighting. Because he's always right.
He goes, last time he was on, he goes... You weren't there, and I was. So here's what happened. Well,
he's right.
Oh, he's always awesome. Right.
Yeah, it's sort of like Adam. Very similar.
Oh, my gosh. Look at the intimates in your circle of friends.
I know.
The always right brigade.
So we have our caller, and this is?
Courtney.
Hey, Courtney. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Courtney.
Bob Forrest, Mike Carano. We really appreciate you calling in. So what's going on?
So just listening back to some previous podcasts that you've had, and one of them that kind of got my attention was talking about attachment.
Yeah.
I am a veteran, retired Air Force now. I am medically retired due to PTSD. And just haven't been able to find a successful relationship in the past 5 years or so. And just kind of wondering, like, if the PTSD has anything to do with that, or...
What are your PTSD symptoms?
A lot of times I just close myself off. I can get nervous and stuff around crowds. I have a hard time sleeping.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. That doesn't sound like that would get in the way of a relationship. Did you have childhood trauma?
No.
Did you have successful relationships before your service?
Yeah, I was actually married while I was in. My spouse and I actually deployed together.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did something go bad there?
Well, he was always out flying and stuff. And, you know, I do computer network kind of stuff. So I would hear about the missions and what they were doing. They did combat search and rescue. That was very tough on me.
The hearing the horrible things he had to put up with, or...
Yeah, and then coming back, you know, and we're all briefed, like the pictures and the, you know, and, you know, getting all that from the intel briefs. So.
Is that where your PTSD kicked in?
Yeah. Yep.
Did you have any association between him and the images? In other words, did they get linked in your brain in some way?
Sometimes, okay. Yeah.
And did the relationship end badly?
It did.
What happened? If you can tell me.
Yeah. We came back from our deployment and we just couldn't, it's like we couldn't communicate anymore.
Why do I feel like somebody really hurt you?
Because he did.
What did he do?
He left. He gave up. He walked
abandoned.
Away.
All right. Well, whatever that is has way more to do with, all the rest of it is not helping, but this is where your trouble is in terms of getting connected again. And did you have any abandonment in childhood?
Yeah, my parents got divorced when I was 11, and
okay.
My kids walked out.
All right, so your instinct on these being sort of attachment issues are solid, because your expectation of intimacy and closeness is abandonment. And that means that when people get into that mode, they either start being attracted to people that are not available, so they don't have to get close, and then, of course, that's a mess. Or they get in with somebody that is available, and then you sabotage it.
Yeah.
All right. That is highly amenable to therapy.
Yeah, talk therapy.
Highly, highly, highly. If you get to,
you got to know what your goals are.
Well, you got to have a good therapist too. Somebody really is attachment oriented. And who was it? We had a show a while ago with Dan on it. Yeah. He said he went to 4 therapists before he found somebody.
Oh, the guy that called in. Yeah.
Yeah. And so sometimes you got to find somebody who really is attuned
trying.
To you. And it's going to be uncomfortable. If it's uncomfortable and attuned and close, you know, you're in the right zone with that therapist. But a lot of people don't practice that kind of therapy. So are you open to that?
Oh, definitely. I have a really great psychiatrist at the VA.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be talking so much. Yeah. You need a therapist to talk with and get to the root of this abandonment. There's some theories that will create abandonment, even in people that, you know, many years. You said he eventually left. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Somehow, right. Maybe you pushed him away. That's something to look at.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure of. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, he linked me up with a therapist there in the VA.
Oh, good.
That whole. Yeah. And unfortunately, because the VA is so busy, I don't have an appointment with her until August. But I'm hoping that's a good match. But
I'm not. They're not going to be doing this kind of work, I don't think. I don't think.
Do you have health insurance?
No.
Just
no.
VA.
Could
just
you afford? Where are you calling from?
How long?
What state? What sort of part of country?
I'm coming from Palm Bay, Florida.
Okay. Could you afford $100 a week?
No.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. So how long have you been out?
I've been out now for, 2.5 years?
So when does it go to private insurance? Because eventually you don't have access to the VA as fully as you do now, and you'll get health insurance.
Actually, as me being 70% disabled, I do have...
Oh, okay. Full-time forever. Okay.
Do they give you Medicare, too, or no?
Not that I know
no,
of.
No, okay. Well, I mean...
Who designs all this stuff? She gets 70% disability.
I know. It's crazy. But listen, I am extremely hopeful for her.
Yeah,
there's no reason.
She's hot. She needs to... Here's the thing she needs.
Because she's not... Because you don't get the... there's not a lot of spin, right? There's not a lot of chaos
you
in her feelings.
You know who can do this with you? A great PsyD student at the college.
Absolutely.
There's
oh, yeah?
drop-in yeah. centers. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
explain it.
Well, there are educational institutions where they're training psychologists and
sometimes
psychiatrists.
Sometimes they have free. Sometimes it's sliding scale. No, I'm sure they do.
It's very inexpensive.
I'm sure they do a veteran for free.
Yeah, I would think. And so if there's a is there a university nearby or a medical school?
Yeah.
Actually, we have FIT, Florida Institute of Technology, right here, which has a good PsyD program.
All right.
Well, go
perfect.
There and
go
find
see
a PsyD
if they have some,
student.
Yeah.
And that's,
PsyD students
that's
are
what,
awesome. They're very interested in this kind of work. They're very clinically oriented. That'd be a great adjunct for you to look at and see
there
if they
go.
Have anything going on there.
That, try that.
And that could
and
be next
you
to
call
nothing.
Us back and see what happened.
I was just going to say that. I wish people could give their feedback in a couple of weeks and say like
yeah.
how it turned out, what,
yeah.
they, what steps they
or,
took.
Or if it didn't work, we can help you know try to guide you
I
again.
I can tell you, when we were working, a lot of the students were sharper and better than the ones that had been doing
yeah.
it a long time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, no.
They're
because
they're fresh and they know the new stuff. Like,
well, they're, and they're committed,
like Sager
too.
Stuff.
They're not burned
and,
out. They're very
yeah.
interested. They're engaged. You know, and so that's a possibility. And then,
by the way, the video looks like you're in a loft because your couch looks like it's a bed and it's way up high.
By the way,
it's
Mike's
like,
single.
He's single. That's what I was thinking right there. Look at that. Look at that chin.
With
yeah, I know.
He's hitting on Courtney.
Here's the deal. This is what you don't do when you're talking to someone who's got attachment issues, Mike. I got news for you.
Hey, but, baby, that's a nice bed up there.
But all right, but okay.
Oh, God in heaven, Mike.
She's rather pretty.
She's great, but she's also not making us feel her misery, which is a very positive sign. It's called projective identification, when people put stuff out of their body. She's owning it, so then she can deal with it now. So
yeah,
she
I feel her pain, but I don't feel a psycho behind those
right,
eyes.
You don't. Well, you don't feel her projecting her pain yeah. into you.
There's no borderline yeah. features.
I'm sure you have
saying.
Psychotic tendencies.
Oh, nice wording more. Stop it.
All right. So A, but the other thing is this is I'm going to experiment with something here. With
oh, my goodness.
What's her name again? I'm sorry. What's your
Courtney.
Name again? Courtney. One of the things you could do...
Not related to Courtney Love, by the way.
I know
way.
That.
Okay.
No.
is try to cultivate friendships with people that are different than you would normally hang out with.
Okay.
And try to see yourself and your life through what's called a new pair of glasses. Like through some... Not somebody dangerous or somebody, but just somebody... Actually, somebody boring. The more boring, the better.
Fighter pilot.
Yeah, not a narcissist.
What does that do?
Because it's literally what 12 Steps built on.
Tell her about jet fighter pilots so she knows.
I've worked around pilots. I think I understand.
That's the
highest rate of addiction in America.
Well, yeah. And narcissism. And so that's sort of an abandoning person already.
We all saw Top Gun.
All right. Anyway,
oh, did I didn't
know. We don't know her husband. He might have been a good guy or whatever.
I was high.
Their relationship at least worked for her, and she... is hurt by it not being there. And
well, she learns about herself through relationships.
All right, right. With is what I'm advocating, Courtney,
okay.
which is that you sort of learn how... You and I talked about a spiritual thing at a different show, and I went, oh, just see, talking to you about it, not
yeah.
thinking about it by myself, created a new emotional landscape for that topic for me. You will experience yourself emotionally differently in a context with other people. And as much as possible, I always advocate people use sort of a 12-step kind of model.
I know. This gets back to, I took my older sister, who's not an addict, to an AA meeting.
Yeah.
The woman who was speaking was cussing, and my sister's pretty, you know, pretty tame.
Uptight.
Pretty, yeah, uptight. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was seeing it through this anxious thing. I wanted her to like it and know it and appreciate it. And when we were leaving, she said, that was amazing, Bobby.
Wow.
I wish there was an AA that I could go to.
Right.
Right? So it really made me think, like, the world gets it, this attachment.
Yeah.
Like, when we're with each other, we get it in
yeah.
community.
And fundamentally,
as you get
too,
older,
right?
you have less community.
That's true. But fundamentally, it's just when you're with these friends, just try to stay out of your own head, try to stay engaged with them, and try to be revealing.
Try to be
whatever negative feelings you want to sort of trust handing to another person, offer it to
Don't tell them they're boring, though, even though they are. It's true.
Well, they should be like 82-year-old women or something.
Well, that maybe is your version of it. It's whatever Cameron's version.
It worked for me. I was 5 weeks with 82-year-old people, and it kind of gave me a new perspective.
Right. My dream.
That's awesome.
My dream, and I swear to God, I'm not trying to be funny here, is to have like an 80-year-old black woman BFF. That's my dream.
It is.
I want a woman that doesn't take any shit.
I've got one for you.
Completely straight ahead.
I got it for you.
Yeah, and I want to hang out with her.
My best friend from high school's mom. Still know her. I'll get her.
And I want to go to her funeral eventually, and everyone go, who are you?
She didn't take no shit.
I want someone who doesn't take any shit, who's been through.
Why? Because you take so much?
No, I just think it'll be great.
But somebody like that is going to have all kinds of people at her funeral.
I know. Of course. Yeah.
But Susan lost her dad and was sort of walking in his shoes and meeting a lot of people that he knew.
I was there. I saw.
Yeah, and it helped her process.
That dude in the wheelchair, remember that guy? Yeah. He just came by in a wheelchair with an assistant person pushing him just to be in the store. Yeah. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah, there were 100 of them.
So, all right, we got to follow up on Cameron, make sure this works. Okay?
Oh, yeah,
so,
Cameron, we'll have you on
get
again.
A side couple, D.
Get a side D in training. Somebody who's not early in training. Somebody who's well along a little bit.
Supervised hours.
Yeah, with supervised hours and stuff. And it's somebody you want to stay with at least a couple years, at least, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, and then you'll tell us also how that VA referral worked out. Because they do a lot more CBT and that kind of stuff. And that's good.
CBT?
Cognitive
behavioral therapy.
Anyway, thank you for your question. Very interesting.
Thank
you for your service in this Memorial Day, too. Really, really.
Wish we had a better medical system for you.
Okay.
Hang in
See you then, Courtney.
This is a much bigger deal than we ever really think about now that you're talking
what
about
is
it.
PTSD?
Well, we have these hundreds of thousands of people that serve that are coming back. Even if they didn't see any action, they're not coming back perfect. But if you witness death over and over and over,
we just spoke to three of them, and they're seeking solutions, which is unlike the general public.
Yeah, but how do you come back and just... fold back into society and live.
Oh, you can't.
That's what I mean.
I always tell this story of this kid, John, that I was working with at PRC, and it came to that point. He's doing good. He's like 90 days sober. You got to find a job. Finally, he's this Boston guy. And he's just like, you know what? What am I supposed to do? Go work at fucking Starbucks, Bob, after what I've been through? And I just said very calmly, I'm sorry. Yes. I don't know what they told you, but yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's how it works.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Instead, he works in recovery now.
good.
Thank God. Never had to be a
barista. There's so many people that need some help, and it just seems to be getting ignored by and large.
No, it's just so backed up. It's just so backed up. You have no idea.
Yeah, it's backed up. You're just talking about. Listen, it's
we've promised the moon and the stars.
This country is one big traumatized organization.
What? How do people in the military actually feel respected? Like, what can you do to actually show them some respect?
We don't
want
to get into this on Memorial Day. I deal with a lot of veterans through this.
But, I mean, what can you do? What can I do as this dorky dude?
Just be normal to them. Be cool and normal. They hate when people tiptoe around them.
But how do you give thanks to somebody for...
Simple measures.
Honest, just genuine.
Yes, simple measures.
Genuineness. Because it's been described to me hundreds of times, Drew, is they don't like people tiptoeing around and they don't like BS patriotism.
Right.
They like genuineness, directness, honesty, and everybody's shying away from doing that.
Well, because it's a hard thing to accept. It's a dirty thing that has to be done. And we don't really want to face it. Like, we want to act like the world's just this nice place.
I'll give you an example.
The line at Coffee Bean.
People like you and I, and I've been dealing with them for 7-8 years now, people like you and I obviously didn't want to go to war.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. I had to confront that up front, Drew. I had to say, listen, I believe that Democrats, and I say it in this way, liberals or progressive or Democrats or whatever you want to call it, we're the ones that say we should be very cautious going to war, but if you're coming home, you're ours and we'll take care of you, right? Because there's this
I don't know anybody that doesn't say that.
The Republicans say the liberals hate you. They do.
The Republicans say the liberals hate you.
Yeah.
I get that vibe, too.
Oh,
I kind of get the...
You're too open-minded about Republicans.
What do you mean?
Trust me. That we're not patriots. That Democrats aren't patriots.
Oh, I see.
That we don't love the soldiers and care about the soldiers when we're the ones that want to help them.
I think that's rhetoric, though. People know.
If I were in the military, the feeling I get is I would not be welcome in Santa Monica. I mean, and I'm not trying to make it one little area, but it feels like the hippy-dippy group down there, the Peace and Love group, would not be happy with me, even though...
And there's nothing like that for people on the right, where somebody's not welcomed.
Oh, I'm not welcomed on the right?
Are you kidding me? They love you.
They do?
They love you.
Trump?
Oh, he would love you. Are you kidding me? Another antisocial?
He would probably like you.
He would like me.
You know what? I would be
That's
so afraid.
That's frightening that Donald Trump and me could be buddies someday.
Yeah, I would be afraid of meeting Trump because I'm such a puss that when I meet somebody who likes me back, I'm like, they're instantly... He's not
but I don't
guy.
Like that there's places where people feel like they can't go. That's not right.
It's not right.
That's not right.
Well, I feel...
I don't think you're
how
right.
How about this?
I don't believe you're not right.
You've seen my politics drift in the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm not welcome with some of my Bernie friends. They're like, what the fuck? Why aren't you for Bernie? Because he's promising the sky and the moon and the stars to everybody, and how is he going to pay for it? By taxing the rich? Yeah. How has that ever worked? Why do half of our friends believe that, Mike?
More than half, probably. You think it's more than half?
We're going to wrap up, everybody.
We're leaving it at that?
Check it out.
Everybody gets everything they want, and we'll just make the rich people pay for it.
One thing I've learned from the Twitterverse is
paying for us.
No one wants me to discuss politics, that's for sure.
I know.
Adam and Dr. Drew's show is 5 days a week now. You get a Dr. Drew podcast. Also, The After Disaster. Check that at iTunes.
Yes, thank you.
You should put that up at drdrew.com, too. Keep Him Alive with Greg Barrett, Bob Forrest. Another way to get more Bob. Do you talk recovery there, too? You probably do.
Yeah, Greg Silver, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just outed him. Oh, God.
Tweet us all at Mike Carano, at Ask Bob Forrest, at Dr.
What if it was like outing gay people?
At First Lady of Love.
I'm sure it is for some people.
At This Life Podcast.
I'm sure it is.
And visit thislifepodcast.com for updates. Write us at contact@drdrew.com.
Start outing people, Mike.
And click on that Amazon banner. Music on the way out is courtesy of Mike Carano. It's called...
I don't know. What
He's
we
in
do?
A 12-step program. Write in an email. Guess which one.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you later.
Home in the desert, hard by the ocean, saddle up. Firecast picture of devotion, cow dog weather torn boots made for working, hot sun cold rain gotta keep it moving. That's the advantage of being married to a cowboy. That's the advantage of being married to a cowboy. Sunday morning, tourists drinking whiskey, small town gather round, gotta hear the story. Long drive, dirt road, getting kinda scary. Horseback silhouette, here comes her baby. That's the advantage of being married to a cowboy. That's the advantage of being married to a cowboy. Sunday morning, kids are up, the kitchen smells like coffee. Dogs are barking, they got loose again. Breakfast in the parlor room, the baby's looking healthy. Sunrise and he'll be gone again. That's the advantage.